Happy Tuesday and welcome to the program. Logan Gordon along with you for another edition of Sportsnet Today here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. On another would-be game day for the Calgary Flames, who instead of taking on the Nashville Predators tonight, only add three more players to their COVID list among a handful in the NHL. And we wait to see how the team will react. Coming up in less than 15 minutes, we'll go to the Scotiabank Saddle Dome and hear live from Flames general manager Brad Treliving regarding his team's status going forward. You can add Milan Lucic, Sean Monahan, and Noah Hanifin to the list of Calgary Flames players that already entered COVID protocols yesterday. Flames now severely shorthanded with the list growing. Of course, the list yesterday included Elias Lindholm, Andrew Mangiapane, Brad Richardson, Adam Ruzicka, Chris Tanev, and Nikita Zadorov, as well as one member of the training staff. All of them out for a minimum of 10 days. You're now talking about Lucic, Monahan, Lindholm, Mange, Richardson, Ruzicka. Half of your forward group and half of your defense currently out for the Calgary Flames. Now, they are going through it all at once, but it hasn't been a banner day for the NHL when it comes to teams around the league either. Seems this morning, every 5 minutes that you check social media, another name has been added to the COVID list. Today alone, two names in Boston, Brad Marchand, Craig Smith. The New York Islanders placing Matthew Barzal in COVID protocol. Vancouver Canucks adding Luke Shen. Panthers, Ryan Lomberg. Devon Taves of the Colorado Avalanche. All on the COVID-19 list for their respective clubs. Carolina placed Sebastian Aho and Seth Jarvis in protocol Monday. They played the Canucks on Sunday. So the situation seems to continue to get more and more dire. Of course, the question about the Olympics continues to be one that no one seems overly committed to right now. Joshua Clipperton of the Canadian Press had this tweet an hour ago. Connor McDavid tells media in Edmonton the idea of a potential quarantine of 3 to 5 weeks because of a positive COVID-19 test at the Beijing Olympics is, quote, unsettling. Won't say today if he's out if that's the case. We heard similar sentiment from Alex Pietrangelo of the Vegas Golden Knights yesterday. You have to think that sentiment only continues when more and more NHLers get put on this list. There are people who feel as though the NHL should immediately look to pause their season to get their COVID situation under control. I would say Marchand probably a lock for most people on Team Canada. Barzal in the conversation. Even from a Flames perspective, you know, we've been sitting, hoping, waiting that perhaps Saturday would be at least an opportunity for the team to get back on the ice in a shorthanded situation. That seems more and more unlikely after today's news. Past that, how many more positive cases come down for the team? We have to wait and see, but the news, and believe me, it's the last thing that we want to talk about. It's the last thing that I want to start the show off on with. I would much rather be talking about a game last night in Chicago and looking forward to one here in Nashville tonight. Just not where we are right now, and it's a situation that continues to develop. In case you missed it, we will go live to the Scotiabank Saddle Dome at 12:15, just under 10 minutes away, from hearing from Flames general manager Brad Treliving. He's going to address the media about the COVID situation. currently affecting his team. We'll chat with Peter Labardius a little bit later on. We'll get some reaction to the Brad Treliving news conference with Lou following Brad speaking to the media. That's coming up in just under 10 minutes' time. So the news today, three more Flames on the COVID list. Brad Treliving set to speak with the media momentarily. A number of players around the league, including Brad Marchand, Matt Barzal, Devon Toews, Ryan Lomberg, on their respective teams added to the COVID-19 list. Coming at you live from the Iconic Studios in downtown Calgary, brought to you by our friends at Iconic Electric and Control. It's Logan Gordon along with your producer today, Aaron Howell. You can always reach the show on the fan feedback line, 960-960. Questions, comments, concerns? How do you feel about the Olympics? Is there any chance that NHLers actually go to Beijing at this point? I saw Dom Lucician of The Athletic saying, look, the NHL needs to take a pause right now. Get this under control, maybe during the holiday season. Use the gap in the schedule that you had planned for the Olympics to make up for the time that you're going to lose now. I don't know if that's the right decision, but it's certainly one that I think is gaining more support as the days goes on. It's clearly not just a one team at a time thing anymore. The Calgary Flames going through it with the most severity, with half of their current forwards and defensemen now on the COVID-19 list. But I read off some of those names across the league. Bruins without two of their regular forwards in Craig Smith and Brad Marchand for 10 days. The Islanders have had a miserable season. They've gone through COVID already. Now they're without Matt Barzal. It's a tough situation for the league to be in, and there's no easy answer. I will be curious what Brad Treliving has for us today. I imagine we'll get a sort of health update on the group. I believe yesterday Pat had said everybody, to his knowledge, was asymptomatic. I hope that's the case for everybody. What kind of communication has Brad heard from the league is something I'll be curious to know. Flames are scheduled to have a pretty home-heavy schedule for the rest of December. As of right now, is the league interested in making them play these games? Are there going to be some sort of exemption to it? All of these questions are going to be answered momentarily. We're just awaiting Brad Treliving at the Scotiabank Saddledome. You're listening to Sportsnet today here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. No NHL games on the schedule last night, as Flames Blackhawks was the only scheduled game. Plenty on the list tonight, but as we've mentioned, plenty of the teams that will be in action tonight will be missing somebody due to the COVID-19 protocols in place. Are we coming towards another shutdown in pro sports? I don't know. The NHL is in a unique position with the Olympics coming mid-schedule, that if they wanted to take some time off over the next couple of weeks and try to get a handle on the situation, they could easily, I don't want to say easily because changing the entire schedule up for the remainder of the year isn't an easy task, but you could see where the days would fit where the Olympic schedule currently sits. But again, is the NHL invested so heavily in keeping their promise to the players that they're going to let them decide in January whether or not they'll be going to the Olympics? Does the NHL take the onus of stepping in beforehand? I don't know. It would be a monumental task to shut down for even a couple of weeks, hoping the situation gets under control. And there's no guarantee of that. So we wait and see. I'll remind you again, just moments away from heading to the Scotiabank Saddledome to hear from Flames GM Brad Treliving. Give us an update on his team after they placed three more players, Sean Monahan, Milan Lucic, and Noah Hanifin, into the COVID protocol list today. A couple texts at 960-960. Any chance the tournament could be held in North America, or has that time passed to have it scheduled here? We're past that. And I don't know that the Beijing Olympic Committee would be overly enthused with one of the bigger events being held in North America as part of their Olympics. As this texter points out, the NFL also in the middle of a big outbreak. Absolutely. Highest number, single day number of players testing positive yesterday in the NFL. I believe Adam Schefter had it at 37. Yesterday, the Browns placed 7 on their COVID list today. Also believe the Chiefs placed Chris Jones, their star defensive tackle. Not just an NHL problem right now. The NHL might be under the microscope a little bit more here, and because there's an Olympic participation still up in the air. But it certainly looks like it's a problem across multiple pro sports leagues. I believe the NBA was dealing with one yesterday as well. I mean, everywhere you go on any sports website, it's the main story. This team places X amount of players into COVID protocol. First page of the NBA highlights, Aldridge among four Nets on COVID protocol. NFL, Browns place 7 in COVID protocol. NHL, Flames add 3 more to COVID protocol. It's just an endless cycle that sometimes feels like it's never going to end. I know it's frustrating. I know we'd rather be talking about other things, but as of right now, it's the world we live in. It's the cross-section of real life and sport that we don't always love talking about, but we're doing it today here on the program. In case you missed that list of other guys around the league, too, here. Brad Marchand, Craig Smith in Boston. I believe Thomas Drantz had Luke Shen in Vancouver on the COVID list. Devon Taves in Colorado. Former Flame Ryan Lomberg in Florida as well. Should just be minutes away here. Just waiting for Brad Treliving to head to the podium. Get an update on the Flames here. I would imagine there'll be a schedule update coming here from Brad. Likelihood of Saturday's game feels tenuous at best. To expect them to be able to play Saturday. And the guys mentioned it yesterday on the big show. You have to play that one shorthanded game before you get any sort of cap relief, emergency cap relief. Well, I mean, the Flames can barely ice 2 lines and 2 D pairings right now. Are we talking about playing that level of shorthanded? I don't know. Be interesting to see what the general manager of the Calgary Flames says. He's just coming up just momentarily, moments away from hearing from Brad Treliving at the Scotiabank Saddledome with an update on his team after adding Milan Lucic, Sean Monahan, and Noah Hanifin to their COVID list, along with the 6 players and 1 member of the training staff who were added yesterday. Fans can't go to the games anyways. Does it really matter where the games are held? Just play them on China time. Yeah, I mean, the Olympics does a lot of silly things. I mean, the fact that we're having an Olympics is, to some people, silly enough. Lots of questions about the vaccine and being asymptomatic, just, you know, stuff I'm just not going to dive into. I get it's frustrating. I'm in the same boat as everybody else. I'm just as sick of talking about it as I am of hearing about it. But it's just not going to be a forum for vaccine debate here. It just sort of is what it is. Just waiting. Should be moments away from hearing from Brad Treliving. It's about time they made fans wear masks. Fans are supposed to be wearing masks at the Saddle Dome. Should be. No fans in China either. Supposed to be a bubble situation. But again, as we're hearing, Connor McDavid said as much yesterday. Or said today. Yeah. Not everybody's favorite. We're just moments away from joining Brad Treliving here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. We'll take you to that live just starting now as he's set to address the media.
What we wanted to do today is just real quickly, threefold. So just obviously you're aware of we're going through a COVID situation. So we wanted to, you know, bring everybody up to speed of where we're at. Number two is sort of walk you through how we got to here over the course of the last couple of days and what's transpired. And then three, open it up to any questions. So I guess off the top, I'll certainly try to answer anything I can. There will be some questions probably I don't have answers to yet. You know, this is, you know, we're sort of dealing with this as on an hourly basis here. So things that I apologize in advance if I can't get to or don't know the answers to them yet. So as of now, as we sit here today, we've over the course of the last 72 hours, I guess it's 48 hours, have had 9 positive player tests, and one member of our staff, of our training staff, that's tested positive. We will be testing and have been testing since the start of this on a daily basis. And I guess backing up here a little bit, we played at home Saturday night. Our team tested as part of our regular testing program at that stage Saturday afternoon. And that test primarily was done as part of our regular process. We were to be traveling the next day to the U.S., so we had to have our test for travel. So we tested Saturday morning for that test. We got those results back late Saturday night, early Sunday morning, in the middle of the night. And that was sort of the first round of positives. So we convened at the airport for our regular, for what was to be our scheduled flight to Chicago, tested everybody at that point through rapid testing prior to getting on the plane, as well as a PCR test for everybody as well, as well as confirming tests for the 3 positives that we got. And then in order, we got the confirming test back for those 3 positives. So, you know, they remained at home. They didn't travel to the airport until we found out if they were going to be positive or not. At that point, we made the decision to hold our flight up and just delay it a little bit till we got, the confirmation of the remaining tests. We looked at flying. You know, we originally had pushed our flight back to later that evening. After an hour, a couple hours, we let the players to play and go home. Worked with the airline to get our flight pushed back. And then as the t- and then looked at even going once pilots timed out and customs issues, rescheduled the flight for the morning, which would have been yesterday morning, to Chicago. Subsequently, prior to 6:30, 7:30 at night, we got the test back of four other individuals, bringing our total to seven, six players and a staff member. Throughout the situation, we were communicating, on a hourly basis, minute by minute basis with the league. After consultation, these situations, once you get into a positive test, that gets turned over to the league. League doctors work with our medical staff, work with the PA medical staff. And it was late in the evening on, I'm losing track of my days here, late in the evening on Sunday that the determination was made that we wouldn't be traveling to Chicago. At that point, everybody was then placed on isolation at home, brought our group into the rink yesterday. Now, I guess it's Monday, starting the daily testing program, got those results back from yesterday, late last night, which confirmed three more positives, which we communicated this morning. So that's where we're at. I think as we previously communicated through the league communication, our games currently at this point have been postponed through Thursday. That's where things stand here right now. Number one priority for everybody, is the health and safety of our players, their families, those close to them, everybody impacted by that. So our number one priority in our heads go directly to how do we make sure that everybody's looked after, has everything they need, as we move through looking after those that have been tested and looking after them, as well as protecting the non-positive situations right now and moving through our testing protocol as we go forward here. So I think that's a maybe more or less detail than you ever wanted to know about it, but that brings us to where we are here today. I'll be happy to answer any questions that I can. So fire away. Go ahead, Dalton.
Hey, please use the raise your hand function. We'll take questions here for Brad. Once you're called upon, please unmute and ask the question. We'll start off here with Eric Francis. Eric, go ahead.
Hey, Brad, are the players still asymptomatic as of, this morning?
Yeah, everybody's doing well. I don't know where everybody's at, Eric, to be perfectly honest with you. Like, I would say people are doing well. They're everybody's doing well. We've been communicating back and forth, but so far, guys are feeling good.
We'll go with Kristen Anderson. Kristen, go ahead.
Brad, has the league expressed concern about any in-game transmission with the Bruins and Hurricanes that are also in protocol now?
No, I haven't had any conversations about that. Listen, we've been dealing with this for 2 years. You're always worried about all sorts of transmissions. My understanding, and again, I'm neither a doctor nor play one at home, we played Boston on Saturday. Help me out, Saturday. Whether you would play Saturday and test Sunday, from what the medical people tell me, that's too quick. Now, can you have in-game transmission? Sure, I'm sure that's possible, but I haven't, we haven't talked about that. I think everybody, you go through this process, everybody's dealing with it throughout the league, and you don't, to pinpoint where it's come from or where you got it from, we haven't done that yet.
Is it clear this is the variant?
No, we don't know, Kristen. That hasn't been determined. My understanding is once you do the testing, it takes a period of time. A positive test comes back. More testing has to be done to determine what variant it is. But I can't confirm that it's what variant it is.
Okay, we'll go to Pat Steinberg. Pat, go ahead.
Brad, I know that obviously the number one priority is the players and your team. I just wonder about the balance for you as a general manager. You've got obviously the health of the players on your team, but at the same time, you're also trying to figure out all the cap things and things you got to do to get back playing. How have you struck the balance here in the last couple of days?
Well, we're jumping back and forth between a few sandboxes, Pat. You know, you've got health and safety number one. So, you know, that takes precedence over everything. We've got a great medical team. Our people know whatever they need, we will get provided for them. But that, let's not lose sight that is, you know, everything's a distant second to that. So that's number one. We all get it. So that's that. And then as you said, there's other, you know, then you're looking at the other, you know, you're looking at the other layers here. So, you know, roster wise and all those types of things we're working through. We're still early in this situation to start predicting when, like I said, right now we're postponed through Thursday, but certainly we've got, you know, we're looking at scenarios based upon as positive tests come in and players become available, what does that do to a roster? You know, that's, we'll have to wait and see how that works, but of when we get up and going, but certainly those are, that piece of it is taking some time as well.
Haley Salvian. Haley, go ahead.
Hi, Brad. I know it's a lot of maybe guesswork and things are always up in the air, but are there further conversations with the league and league doctors about further postponements, or is the plan right now still to return on Saturday?
Still too early, probably, Haley. Like, that's the plan right now. Like, as we all learned in the last couple of years, you know, you stay limber and nimble and prepared to pivot. So right now, all we are is we're postponed through Thursday. You know, that was the initial call, you know, Sunday or Monday when the league sent out their release. And then I think obviously we monitor as things go forward here. We've had three more cases today. We'll see how the rest of the week unfolds, but nothing other than that at this point.
Going to Moses Waldo. Moses, go ahead.
Thank you. And thanks, Brad, for doing this. My question is the threshold that is needed. I believe, you know, zero positive tests would be the marker, but does it have to be consecutive days? Is it just one day? What are the steps needed in order to make sure this team gets back on the ice, say, by Saturday?
What are you saying? Like, if a player...
No, in terms of what's the threshold needed in order for the Flames to get back up and running and play NHL games once again?
Well, it's a combination of things, Moses. You know, I think the doctors all monitor now when is it safe to return everybody back together where you don't think you're going to increase spread, right? So that's number one. There's sort of two factors. Number one is you test positive. Now you're out, you know, you're let's say you're on the sidelines, then there's a process for you to be able to re-enter the group through a testing procedure, time, negative tests or period of time. So that's number one. And then the second piece is you've got the rest of the group. And at what point is it determined that getting them together, you know, you're not putting them at risk of further spread? The answer is, I don't know yet. That'll come from the doctors, and you know, we provide the information daily. Here's where we're at. Here's the test results. They're the smart ones in the room. They tell us what to do.
Okay. We'll go back to Eric Francis here. Eric, go ahead.
Brad, is part of the problem in all this, the lag in testing? I mean, if you would have got the test results earlier, you might not have even played Saturday night's game, or at least you could have eliminated players from that game. In the States, they're getting their results a lot quicker. Is that a problem in this whole process?
I don't think it's a problem. I mean, listen, we're dealing with an imperfect, you know, we'd all like there to be no COVID, right? There is. So we got to deal with it. And so I don't think that's a problem. You deal with it. You know, you could have test results back in 30 seconds. You have a test result. It doesn't necessarily mean you haven't had exposure prior to getting that test result. So, you know, it is what it is. We're just diligent to, you know, once this thing sort of started, you do your best to try to limit it. We felt, you know, once we got the results back on whatever it was, Sunday morning, just felt let's be safe. We did rapid tests before we got on the plane. Those became negative for us to even get on the plane. So I don't think there's any perfect situation or perfect way to go about it. You do the very best you can. Our medical staff and the doctors do a great job to try to keep everybody safe. We're dealing with a pandemic, and you know, there's probably going to be, there's a lot of imperfections right now when you deal with this. So we do the best we very can.
I got one more if I could. Given where you are right now, 9 players out, half your roster basically, can you really fathom playing a hockey game? Can you possibly imagine this team or a semblance of it playing the game on Saturday?
Well, what are we today? We're Tuesday. Is that where we are? We're keeping the picture small. So I know I don't want to make any proclamations about what's going to happen tomorrow, never mind Saturday. So we have to prepare. That's, again, a lesson for all of us in this time is you take the information you have, you make the best decisions you can, and you move forward. So today we know we've got what we've got in terms of positive tests. We know that games have been postponed to Thursday. We have to plan accordingly until we know have further information. Certainly there's challenges and the rest of it, but we'll see. We're Tuesday. In today's world, what I'm finding, Tuesday to Saturday, that seems like an eternity right now. So we'll see what happens today, tomorrow, and as we get closer to Saturday.
Okay, we're going to take a few more questions here. Salam, go ahead.
Hi, Brad. With the Olympics, you have a few players who are projected to be on their respective countries' rosters, but as a general manager, are you concerned about Olympic participation given the recent outbreaks with your team and around the league, plus the protocols in China?
Well, I don't know all the protocols in China. I mean, so I can't comment on that. Listen, as a general manager, you worry about everything. You worry about the weather. You worry about, you know, what else is going to go wrong. You know, do you worry about your player? You're worried about them all the time, Salam. You're worried about, obviously, in the environment we're in. Sure, we're always concerned. Having said that, the process for the players going to the Olympics was a CBA negotiated process, and away you go. You know, a decision's been made. I think certainly, obviously, people are all going to monitor what's going on in the world right now, but you're always worried. You're always worried in this line of work about, you know, about everybody's well-being. You're worried about your team. And then certainly in this environment and with what we're all dealing with, you know, it adds another layer to it. But, you know, that's something that the league and the Players Association got together on and made, you know, it was collectively bargained and it was decided upon. So you move forward, but we'll see how it all plays out. And, you know, I've heard, you hear about some of the things that could take place over there in terms of the protocols and process, but, you know, I haven't looked at the playbook and gone through all that stuff to intelligently address it.
Okay, we'll take a couple more here. Kristen, go ahead.
Can you put your finger on, like, why now you guys haven't had any even close calls, scares until this point? Like, is there a natural relaxation that happens with that around the league? Like, I'm not just even talking about you guys specifically, but it just seems.
No, I don't think there's been a, yeah, I don't think, oh, sorry. Sorry. Go ahead. I don't think it was a, oh, you're on mute there, Kristen. Sorry. I keep interrupting you. Just tell me to shut up.
No, that was it. Like, it just seems not strange, but it, whether it's the variant or not, like, you guys haven't had any even close calls all season. Is there a relaxation that happens with the protocol? Like, and that's natural, human nature, right?
Well, number one, we have had close calls. you know, it's around there, right? I think we went into Ottawa the game after. I could be dating myself here, but I think that the day after, a couple of days after we were in Ottawa, they, you know, they went through their situation. You know, we were on the island. You know, they're going. So you're dodging. This thing's out there, and I don't think it's a lack of people doing. You know, we talked about this a year ago that, you know, the stigma around it isn't because people are out doing the wrong things. It's out there. You do your very best to be safe and smart and do the right protocols. We've had positive tests in the past, like going back to the bubble when this all entered our lives. It's part of their life now. And in the league, testing on a regular basis has been part of our life. And unfortunately now we are, you know, we're dealing with it. So now you deal with it. And you, like I said, first and foremost, keep the number one priority is health and safety. Do everything with that as sort of the North Star here, that that's the focal point. And then the rest of it is, you know, we'll figure the rest of it out, but you will go through this and we will get out on the other side of it at some point. But you know, whether you look around, a lot of teams in the league have dealt with it, a lot of different sports, and hey, we're not immune to what society's dealing with. This is unfortunately part of the world we live in today.
Okay, we'll take one more question. Josh Clipperton. Josh, go ahead.
Brad, just sort of following up on that point, you know, the NBA and NFL have had a bunch of positive tests. Looks like Carolina, Minnesota will get postponed. I think by my count, something like 23, 24 players have been put into protocol in the last 36 hours alone in the NHL. I'm just wondering if this is starting to feel like March 2020 again.
Well, that one, I don't think anything's going to feel like that. That was a cold slap. You know what, Josh, it's part of the world, like not to repeat myself, but it, you know, there's ebbs and flows to it. We, you know, as Kristen said earlier, we hadn't really been in this kind of situation before. Other teams have, we're in it now. So we got to deal with it. You know, everybody, I think gets a little bit, you get that fatigue, right? But you can't slip up. You can't let your guard down. It's out there. You gotta stay diligent with it. And deal with it, you know, as best you can. So to me, it doesn't necessarily feel like the newness when it all came upon us in our lives 2 years ago. It was, you know, it's tough and it's draining and it's, you know, like I said, there's that fatigue factor, but this is just part of life now. And so we've got to make sure we're doing the right things. And like I said, keeping people safe and following the rules. And this isn't the fact that nobody was following, like people were doing the right things. It's just, it's out there.
Okay. We'll end there. Thanks, Brad. And thanks media for joining us today. And we hope to see everybody soon.
Thank you.
There you go. Flames general manager Brad Treliving speaking to the media just moments ago, giving the latest update on their situation. Three more players added to the list today, along with a handful around the league. While Brad was speaking to the media as well there, sounds as though tonight's Minnesota Wild Carolina Hurricanes game has been postponed, with Carolina coming down with four more positive tests today. So Carolina and Calgary, who recently played, both going through some COVID outbreaks now. Carolina put Aho and Jarvis on the list yesterday. Michael Russo saying four more coming today. So you can scratch Minnesota, Carolina off that list of games tonight, as well as the Flames and the Nashville Predators. We'll take a break, come back on the other side here. We'll join in with Peter Labardius, our Calgary Flames insider, get some reaction to Brad Treliving speaking to the media, take a look at maybe some World Junior topics and more. Peter Labardius is going to join Sportsnet today next here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Back to Sportsnet today on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Welcome back to the program. Just finished hearing from Flames general manager Brad Treliving moments ago. Calgary Flames added three more players to their COVID list today. It's been a pretty common theme around the league today. Brad Treliving still saying that Saturday's the plan as of right now. Still wait and see, as the GM mentioned many times, the amount of things that can change between now and Saturday is a long list. So we'll wait and see. But as of right now, Flames postponed through Thursday, and we'll continue to monitor the situation as it continues. As of right now, Flames back in action Saturday against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Thanks to our next guest for holding on. Well, you got Brad. That press conference to you guys live on the air here on Sportsnet today. It is time for us to chat with our Flames insider, Peter Labardius, brought to you by the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Your home renovation should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. The Gemini Group now offering Air Miles Reward Miles. Visit GeminiGroup.ca. Hello, Lou. How are you?
I am fine. Yourself?
I'm doing all right, thank you. What did you make of the GM speaking to the media a couple minutes ago?
You know, there wasn't any huge takeaways. I think all the good questions were asked as far as whether it was time of testing, whether it's what's going to happen next. You know, this is a very fluid minute-by-minute situation. And probably, you know, the thing that stuck with me the most is, you know, when Brad said Saturday is an eternity away, in these kind of scenarios it is. You know, he's not kidding. You know, you're testing constantly, you're waiting, you know, you're hoping at some point that it comes to an end. And then when you know that, you know, the rest of the group or no one else is going to test positive, then you make a plan and hopefully you get ready to play a hockey game as a number of other teams, including teams that the Flames have faced. The Islanders, you know, San Jose came in on November the 9th, very much, you know, in a COVID situation. You know, even the game against Carolina because of the border scenario, you know, Pesci and D'Angelo were both ready to come off, but because of the border and travel, they weren't able to join their team for the rest of the Canadian trip. So, you know, we're all living again. It feels like in a minute-by-minute, day-by-day situation, I was kind of hoping that we were a little bit past that, and I'm not having that discussion on the show because that's for far smarter, more knowledgeable people than me. But, you know, what is it now? I just saw 23 NHL players have tested positive in the last
day and a half.
36 no. hours. But I guess the other thing is, Logan, for me, that's really, really a good thing, is everybody is feeling okay. So in the Flames case, at this point, and those things can change, right? You know, everybody at this point is asymptomatic. As far as we know, that can change. But what I'd really like to hope, and again, I'm not speaking from no knowledge, I had non-vaccinated COVID for 3.5 weeks in April. So, you know, it's one thing to get sick. You know, it's another thing to get really, really sick. So I'm always incredibly encouraged by the fact that even people testing positive are asymptomatic. That's a good thing. That's a really, really good thing.
So now we look at the sort of, I want to call it the grim reality, but it's, I think that's maybe taking it out of context. But if you look, Lou, half of the forward group for the Flames on the COVID list, half of their defensive group now on that list. If we're playing as though, or we're planning as though Saturday is to be a go, we're going to need some reinforcements for the Flames to come up from Stockton. I mentioned this to you earlier today. I said, you know, let's play around with some names that maybe we'd like to see and see if this is a positive thing for some guys who are maybe having a good year in Stockton to get a call up and get some time in the NHL. Any names that jump out to you if the Flames were, or I mean, they're going to have to at some point ask for some assistance from the farm team. Any names that you in particular like to see come up?
Well, sure. And let me rephrase that. I am not a capologist and I'm not playing one on the radio.
No.
You know, for the most part, and other people do a wonderful job of digging in. My job, for the most part, I feel, is to break down hockey games and help people understand hockey better and why things happen. So I don't know all the ramifications. I have a pretty good idea. But, you know, seeing that, you know, I think even somebody like Iuso Välimäki might not be available because he makes more than $850,000. I saw something on that a couple of days ago.
Yeah,
but
so
right. So first and foremost, you're thinking about him. I'm thinking about Connor Mackey on defense. You know, those are two guys that certainly come to mind. You know, as far as forwards are concerned, I would want to see Glenn Godden. There might be some potential to see somebody like Jacob Pelche. You know, I'd love to see him. I didn't think, you know, I thought he looked nervous at camp and in the preseason a little bit. He's off to a great start. You know, Matthew Phillips always just seems to, you know, chalk up points at that level. And certainly I think would be a guy who's a good pro to help you negotiate through some tough situations. So, you know, what I'd be looking for, Logan, is the most pro-ready people to play. So that doesn't necessarily always mean, you know, your top prospects like a Jerry or even a Pelche sometimes. But, you know, it might mean a Justin Kirkland. It might, you know, certainly the names that we're more familiar with, absolutely, if it fits. And I think for the most part, it fits. But after that, you know, a lot of American League teams, including Stockton, you know, are made up of some veteran guys. So, like, you know, here's another example as I go through it. You know, you've got Nick DeSimone. You've got Kevin Gravel.
Mm-hmm.
You have Andy Walensky.
Yep.
So, you know, those guys have NHL experience. And in one case, well over 200 games. And here's another thing about the likes of Gravel. Guess who's really familiar with Gravel?
I believe the head coach would be.
The head coach. So, you know, those would be, you know, the group of guys that I would think we'd be looking for, certainly, you know, to round out the back end.
It's interesting because you mentioned the cap situation and, you know, this is all going by that, you know, asterisk that we're not capologists and we don't know how the situation goes. My latest understanding, hearing Pat and Ryan Pike from Flames Nation speak yesterday, is that for the Flames to get emergency cap relief, they would have to play one game shorthanded. I don't know what the extent of shorthanded means, because half of the roster...
I heard yesterday 14 skaters.
Yeah, so they're well on their way to being classified as shorthanded for the game Saturday. And then they could start to bring up guys under that $850,000 salary line that you had mentioned earlier. So, I mean, there's a possibility that we're talking about the first game that the Flames come back with them being severely shorthanded before we even get a chance to talk about any of those guys. And I guess it's sort of speaks to the importance of, you know, last year we went to the taxi squad, and I've seen some people wonder, Lou, if that's not an option for the remainder of the season, that's something they might explore going forward this NHL year. I think it makes a lot of sense, actually.
Well, here's the first thing I would interject with. You know, the league wants to continue to play games. There's no doubt about that. You know, they want to postpone and cancel as few a games as possible. And I know that the math, and it gets incredibly tricky with the cap, but if I was in a position to have any influence, I think with a lot of teams in situations, either have been or potentially, like Calgary, Logan, isn't it time to potentially shift things around a little bit? Because look at it this way, too. Here's what I think about. So let's say you play against Columbus with 14 skaters. Does that not open yourself up for more injuries and guys playing, you know, way more time than they're accustomed to against, you know, a full NHL-type roster? Now, again, one game isn't four or six or even three. But I do. I think at some point I don't know what's completely fair and what isn't, you know, because we know that cap manipulation is a huge part of the sport. That is without question. But I think you've got to find a way somehow to allow teams to at least ice closer to a full team when possible. Because this isn't, you know, this isn't injury or waiting for people or, you know, maneuvering around. You have no choice. You have nine guys right now, as far as I know, that are off for 10 days mm-hmm. after they test positive. There's nothing that you can do about that. There's no negotiation with that, I don't think. Not from my knowledge. So I really do. I really think it's probably getting to a certain point in time where, you know, you might have to make some adjustments to give teams an opportunity to, like, actually ice a team.
Yeah, it feels like something's got to give at this point because, I mean, just going through the list here today, even as we speak, had another name added to the list today in Edmonton and Ryan McLeod. We got the four names from Carolina that's led to their game against Minnesota today being postponed. The league just feels as though, and I don't blame them for this, Lou, but it's a situation that, you know, probably demands flexibility because there's no one way to be fully prepared for what was going to happen this year.
No, there isn't. And you know what? I think it runs much deeper. You know, I've had talks with a couple of people that I care about very much and trust very much who are really up to speed on, you know, COVID issues and numbers and, you know, tracking all of that stuff. And again, we're falling back into, you know, a really difficult situation in regards to how things are going to get handled. And hockey is no different. So, you know, I don't have the answers, and I'm not going to try to pretend to have the answers. But, you know, the one thing I thought about, even when Brad was chatting, is, you know, he was asked about the Olympics. Well, that's certainly looking more and more in danger every 3 seconds, especially with the Chinese government and that situation and those protocols. But the way things are trending, the league might need a couple of week break just to deal with what they're dealing with right now internally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that yeah. schedule break might come in handy to get you through the season.
We're chatting with Pete Labardius, our Flames insider here on Sportsnet today. The big story, of course, in Calgary, Flames general manager Brad Treliving speaking to the media a little earlier today as the Flames have added three more names to their COVID list. As of right now, and as we're operating today, the Flames' next scheduled game to go Saturday against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Let's shift gears, Lou. Let's talk a little World Junior Championships as we get closer to the tournament beginning in Red Deer and Edmonton. I will dive into some Team Canada storylines with you in just a second here, but it was interesting. The guys are going to have Scott Wheeler from The Athletic on later on in the program during the big show, I believe at around 5 o'clock. He does a lot of NHL draft and prospect work for The Athletic.
I met him on the weekend, actually.
Oh, did you?
For the first time at camp, yeah.
That's great. And so he's going to join the guys. Russia announced their final roster for the World Juniors today. Scott's got a great thread on it, at Scott C. Wheeler on Twitter. And among those not on the list for Russia are their entire North American pool of prospects, which includes what would have been a returnee in Flames prospect, Yan Kuznetsov.
Two, in fact.
Daniil Chayka from Vegas?
Yes, from Vegas, who was a second-round pick of Vegas, plays for the Guelph Storm, played on the Russian team last year in the bubble. So, yes, when I saw that roster come out, those two deletions on defense shocked me to a certain extent. Now, anytime you're dealing with the country of Russia, you don't know what some of the policies are behind the scenes. Now, Sergei Zubov, who I have incredible respect for, in fact, I think he's one of the greatest defensemen I've ever watched play on a regular basis.
Hockey Hall of Famer. Front,
one of the great first passers, I think, in the history of the game, for my liking, you know, is now the head coach. You know, needless to say, they get a way better look and feel for their people at home. And, you know, I read a statement today from him, because needless to say, I'm incredibly interested and stay up to date on this stuff, I think, as well as anyone. They think they have 8 better people at home. So, you know, I can't wait to see if they have 8 better guys at home. And if they have 8 better guys on defense at home, then they're going to have a heck of a group. Because I think both of those guys acquitted themselves pretty well last year. And, yeah, I'm surprised. But it does kind of have a feel like if you're playing in North America, you're out. Because there are no North American Russians, and there's 4 that could have been on this team quite easily. Daniil Gushkin and Matvei Petrov, who I would think would both be in high consideration. But, you know, that's it's part of the great intrigue. In fact, one of the things that I miss, frankly, sometimes about international, you know, hockey or sports is – And you find it at the World Junior, the fact that, you know, in a lot of cases, everybody's new to one another. And I like that. I like a little of that intrigue and not knowing and not everybody's playing with one another. You know, listen, the greatest rivalry in hockey has without a doubt become, you know, Canada and the United States, in my opinion. And, you know, at the junior level, for example, it's very much been a college versus CHL event in a lot of different ways. Not completely. You look at this year, you know, Owen Power, Kent Johnson at the University of Michigan are both on Team Canada, you know, and there are, if memory strikes me correctly, I think there's 2 or 3 CHL players at the U.S. camp. They haven't named it their team yet, because they're just starting their camp today. In fact, started this morning in Plymouth, but I always think that adds a little bit to the flavor, especially when our country plays the guys south of the border.
And Team Canada, I believe, will get a look at that Russian squad in a pre-tournament game
December
on the 22nd
in Edmonton. Yeah.
That was the one thing I was interested to hear from you, because I find the pre-tournament games are always an interesting barometer heading into it. And for Canada, I think they've got 2 very interesting ones that I think will probably do them more favors than not heading into the actual tournament starting on Boxing Day, because you get 2 really good tests against Sweden and Russia pre-tournament before you actually jump into it on the 26th. You've watched enough of these, Lou, and I'm sure you've seen some years where maybe the competition pre-tournament is a little bit higher or lower. How much stock do you put into those games and who those opponents are?
Well, I certainly watch very, very closely. You know, for example, you take a look at that next Wednesday in Edmonton, if next Wednesday, I think, is the 22nd, and there's a doubleheader in Edmonton, and it's Canada and Russia and Finland and the United States. So that is a heck of a barometer. you know, for everybody to take a peek. Now, you know, it's different now too. I'd probably place even more importance on taking a look at those games because of COVID and, you know, you have to come over and quarantine. So some teams will come over with more than the 25 players on the roster, but you still have extras, right, Logan? Because mm-hmm. in days gone by, I'm not sure you're aware, but, you know, you had 22 or 23,
yep.
and that's who you had. Well, you know, if you're Canada, and after watching their camp for 4 days, trust me when I tell you there's going to be some decisions that need to be made going into opening day against the Czechs in regards to, you know, who's going to formulate your pairings, who's going to be your 7th D, who's going to be your 13th forward, because, you know, two guys can't dress. Well, three guys, including your third goalie. So, you know, what better place to evaluate and get yourself set, and that's what the coaches will, you know, use that for. So, yes, absolutely. Am I watching? Well, I'd watch if it was in my buddy's backyard where I am right now and they broke out a game in about 4 minutes. But it wouldn't even matter who was playing. But no, I can't wait. So I hope Omicron doesn't ruin the whole bloody thing.
My last one for you, because I know we were still sort of, I believe tomorrow's the deadline that Scott Salmon had put on potentially names like Seth Jarvis and Cole Sillinger. I'd imagine with that positive test for Seth Jarvis yesterday and being put on the COVID list, probably puts him out of this tournament.
Yeah, well, Canada already poured Jack Thompson of the Sudbury Wolves, a right-handed shooting defenseman, you know, came down and it took him right out of the mix. So this will take Seth out of the mix. And, you know, the fact that in his last game, Cole Sillinger played more than 14 minutes for the Blue Jackets. Well, we might see him, but it's not going to be in red and white. It's going to be in white and blue.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. He might be in Calgary, but whether or not he's playing for the against the Flames or for Canada seems to be up in the air.
I wouldn't mind if he was made available. I can say that.
Yeah, I don't think Team Canada would mind that either. But
No, they would not.
Make a good point. Doesn't seem as though the Blue Jackets are keen on having him out of his lineup right now. They play the Vancouver Canucks later tonight. Lou, thanks as always for the time. Do appreciate it. We'll chat again tomorrow, and we'll see what COVID brings us tomorrow as we inch closer to maybe a game on Saturday.
Yeah, can't wait for more COVID watch.
Exactly.
All right.
Cheers, pal.
Thanks for the time.
Bye
Have
now.
A good day. Bye-bye.
Flames insider Peter Labardius, brought to you by the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Your home renovation should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. The Gemini Group, now offering Air Miles Reward Miles. Visit GeminiGroup.ca. We'll take a break, come back on the other side, chat with Mark Benetti, the play-by-play voice of the Stockton Heat. They've remained red hot this year. They're off to a great start. And maybe we'll look at Mark's ideas to who might come up for the Calgary Flames for Saturday if they do have to dip into the farm team to fill out a roster. We'll chat with Mark Benetti next here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Back to Sportsnet today on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The number one team in the AHL's Pacific Division is the Stockton Heat. 15-2-2-1 on the year. 33 points, an .825 winning percentage. Stockton has been red hot, coming off a 5-1 victory against Tucson. They've got a game day tomorrow against Bakersfield before a weekend set against Colorado, which includes the Teddy Bear Toss on Saturday. To chat about all things Stockton Heat, we bring in our pal, the voice of the Stockton Heat, the play-by-play voice of the Stockton Heat, our pal Mark Benetti joins us down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Happy Tuesday, Mark. How are you, pal?
I can't complain. Getting ready for a big weekend, a big week ahead of home games, and looking forward to my favorite game of the year Saturday, that old Teddy Bear Toss. So things are looking up for the team, and we're that much closer to Christmas too.
Good to hear, my man. I got to go back to December 7th for you and ask, have you ever called a game that was that one-sided, a 10-1 win for Stockton over the San Jose Barracuda? You've been doing play-by-play for a while. You ever had a game quite like that?
As a matter of fact, yes, with the exact score of 10-1. Rapid City played against Kansas City, coincidentally enough, Stockton's ECHL affiliate. And I think the closest the game got was when Peter Quenville scored in the second period for Rapid City to make it 3-1. And Kansas City just ran off with it. They chased Merrick Madsen from the net after five goals. Tyler Parks, who's now on contract with the Belleville Senators, currently playing for the Atlanta Gladiators, took over the rest of the game, and he led in 5-2. So it's the end of a road trip with a 10-1 final. So I will say last Tuesday was much, much, much more fun to be on that side of it as opposed to trying to come up with things to talk about when your team's just getting absolutely housed. So it was a fun game for sure with a touchdown, an extra point, a two-point conversion, and then a field goal to boot.
I was going to say, from a play-by-play perspective, are you sort of just living on the edge of your seat when the goals are going in that fast? You're just sort of getting prepared every single rush because you know the puck might be going in the net?
Oh, absolutely. You know, when it comes to this line of work, too, you've got to be ready for anything. And you've got to be ready for an absolute goaltending duel at 1-0 that goes into 20 shootout rounds. You have to be ready for, you know, a stomping 10-1 and everything in between. So when the puck just started going in, you know, you're anticipating, okay, who's the next guy to score? And that's where your preparation really comes at an all-time high. Who hasn't scored yet? Who's got a streak involved? How close are we to a hat trick and all these other anomalies and whatnot? So it was really interesting to be a part of. And, you know, with the way that this offense is clicking, it could very well happen again. I mean, the last three games, the team scored 19 goals. So the offense is doing something right and they're getting rewarded for it. The only unfortunate thing about Tuesday is it only counts as one win, but that's a night that we'll all remember for a very long time.
Talk to me about the weekend series in Tucson, a 5-4 shootout loss on the Friday. They followed up with a great response on Saturday and pick up a 5-1 win. What did you see from Stockton in those two games against Tucson?
Well, we had touched on it with respect to Tuesday, and it carried over the weekend. Great offense. You know, you're talking about 9 goals and 125-plus minutes of hockey. It was great to see them clicking. Unfortunate defeat there on Friday. The team hammered Ivan Prosvetov with 51 shots, and, you know, with the way that the puck was going in, it seemed like it easily could have been 4 points out of four instead of 3 out of 4. But, Friday was unfortunate. You know, Adam Vanner really towards the end of the game kept the team in it. He made a couple of really big saves in overtime. You know, you look at 6 shots in a 5-minute 3-on-3 period, and, you know, he got shelled in that frame alone and really withstood a lot of barrages and gave the team a chance to fight for 2 points. So unfortunate that it didn't work out for him in that respect. But then Saturday, the defense gets cleaned up a bit. Dustin Wolf continues to do Dustin Wolf things. And, you know, the offense came in great spurts, and once the pedal was to the metal, the Heat never looked back. So overall, it was a really good team effort on the entire weekend, and you know a lot of great things to take from against a very tenacious team in Tucson that they play a lot of really tight games. They check well, they skate well, and I think the team came out of 125 plus minutes with some pretty good hockey under their belt.
We talk about them every single time that we check up with you, Mark, and it's just becoming more and more remarkable because Dustin Wolf now sits with 13 games under his belt this season. He's yet to lose in regulation. Mitch Love has nothing but good things to say about his young netminder and his professionalism and the way he just sort of handles everything at the same level. He never gets too high. He never gets too low. And it's just an impressive start for a guy in his first full pro season to have this kind of start. And it certainly doesn't sound as though Dustin's the kind of guy that's letting it get to his head or that he's taking this start for granted with Stockton.
Absolutely not. And that speaks to the professionalism that he's bringing at such a young age, both in his life and in his career. He understands what his role is, and it's to give the team the best chance possible to win every night and make a couple of really big saves while you're doing that. What gets me with Dustin is no matter the situation, it's just nothing but success for him. If the team is on a winning streak, he can keep the Heat going, both the team itself and the momentum, the hot streak rolling there. But I think what's most impressive is that he's been the gentleman tabbed in between the pipes for these responses. You know, Brandon Weiss and I talk about the stats all the time in our office that he's started every game following a loss. He's won every single one of them. He's hovering around a 1.5 goals against average at 1.59, and he's just shy of a 0.950 save percentage. You know, it doesn't matter what the test is. He passes it in flying colors, and it's just as mental as it is physical. The old Yogi Berra quote, baseball is 90% physical, the other half is mental. It's the same thing with Dustin in between the pipes. His mental preparation's at an all-time high, and physically he's just a specimen of an athlete, and he plays the goaltending position very well. So very much like Coach Love, nothing but great things to say about the gentleman, and he also happens to be a great person too. So very, very blessed and fortunate to be able to watch this hockey that he's put on for us, and here's hoping he keeps this rolling for a long time to come.
It's been a big story up here. Yusuf Alamaki sent back down to Stockton in two different ways, but now he's with the club. He's been there for three games. What's your impression been of Yusuf in his three games with Stockton so far here, Mark?
He can skate. He can pass. He's the complete package. There's a reason he's played as many games as he has in the National Hockey League. And I think with him, really, the big key is speed. Everybody talks about the difference between the NHL and the American Hockey League is that much faster of a game, a half of a second more reaction time or less reaction time, I should say, to make a decision, things along those lines. When Yusuf comes to this team, it's all about speed. The intellect he brings to the game, his skating ability, his ability to quarterback transition play. You know, that for me stands out immediately, and he factors in everything. He can block shots. He can get the puck to the net. He can play defense. He can play offense, and he's been a very welcome addition to this back end.
I'm sure you've heard we're going through a bit of a COVID situation here in Calgary, and the Flames will appear to be shorthanded when they get back in action Saturday, potentially at the earliest. And we're all assuming here that it's going to require some help from the farm team when it comes to filling out this Flames roster. As a guy that's watched the team on a consistent basis this year, any guys that stick out to you that might be on the precipice of joining the team, who do you think has really probably, and I know it's a little different than earning a call-up and, say, needing to fill out a roster, but in this situation, Mark, any guys that stick out to you that might have the Flames brass's attention when it comes to making their way up to Calgary?
Well, I mean, any of the top-line position players, for sure. You know, you look at the top line of Gaudin, Phillips, Peltier, and what they bring, that's an easy one to bring into the fold just because of what they've produced. And again, their professionalism, they're willing to play any role. And I think they could be effective in that respect. It all really depends on a need, I guess, with what the Flames would be looking for in a sense like that, but you can't go wrong with them. And, you know, the top end pair too, Valimaki, again, NHL experience for him, Connor Mackey as well. He's had some phenomenal hockey played the last couple of weeks, and rightfully so with his AHL Player of the Week award that he won 2 weeks ago. So, I mean, there's a number of ways you could skin that cat, I think, and it just really depends on need right now. But any of the top line position players, for sure, I think, could go in there, and if required to play, really could play into a role that's dictated to them and bring the team some success. I think regardless of who is brought up, if they have to play, the biggest thing with this Calgary Flames team that's also trickled down to Stockton is it's depth. Next man up mentality. So who's going to be that next person to step up, get the job done, and really help out the betterment of the entire organization? So I think you really can't go wrong with anybody in those top six forward, top four defensemen spots there.
Looking ahead to the week for Stockton, a game day tomorrow against Bakersfield and then two against Colorado at home on the weekend. Let's start with tomorrow. Expectations going up against the Bakersfield team that's fallen off a bit when it comes to the standings, especially in the Pacific Division, Mark. But as we know, there's always a bit of a rivalry between these two teams, and I'm sure Stockton not going to take this one for granted against Bakersfield.
You absolutely can't. I mean, look at the situation Bakersfield's had. They've had a lot of games postponed for a number of reasons, one of the heaviest hitters being a COVID breakout within their organization as well. I first and foremost, it's great that they're finally healthy. Mm-hmm. For the most part. I don't know if they're at complete 100% health, but they're getting pretty close to triple digits in that respect. So it's great to see that they are healthy and they're able to resume a normal schedule of hockey play. But like you mentioned, though, can't take them lightly at all. I've learned, and I think we've discussed this before, when it comes to the Pacific Division, the depth of this division, anybody can win on any given night. and Bakersfield's no slouch in that respect either, especially when you throw in the rivalry variable there. Everybody seems to get up for that game a lot easier than other ones. So Bakersfield getting to 100% health or nearing towards it, they're going to be tough. They're going to have all their heavy hitters back, all their big name scorers, and they'll find success that way too. For Stockton, it's all about maintaining their offensive momentum. The goaltending for Bakersfield, very young. Olivier Rodrigue and Ilya Konovalov, they're both rookies. They're both young. The Heat have only seen Rodrigue, and they've peppered him a pretty good amount of times when they played on the road at Mechanics Bank Arena there. So if they can continue this torrid pace they have on offense, things should work very well for them. Something I noticed, and I was talking with Brandon about in our office this morning, that over this last weekend against Tucson, there were 9 goals scored. 8 of them came in a sequence of hockey exchanged within 2.5 minutes or less. And so not only are the Heat scoring a lot of goals, but they're doing it relatively quickly. And again, once that pedal's to the metal, they're off and running. So it's continuing to generate shots, getting that quick strike offense, and good things will happen. So I'm looking forward to another high-flying game offensively for this team, and we'll see what Bakersfield throws the other way with their toughness and their grit too.
And then, of course, Friday, Saturday, Colorado, and you mentioned it a little bit earlier. Saturday, got to be one of the more exciting ones on the calendar, the Teddy Bear Toss. I don't know if you're aware, but it's a pretty popular one here for our junior affiliate in Calgary. The Calgary Hitmen have been doing it for years and have gotten, 20,000-plus bears at one time. It's become a real hit on the Calgary Hitmen hockey calendar, Mark. What's it like for Stockton? Is it a game that everyone's looking forward to? What is it like for you getting ready for a game like that?
I said it at the top of the conversation. It's the most fun game of the year because it's the only night that you can legally throw things on the ice. And, but honestly, it benefits so many people in need. The game that I've been a part of for so many years, it brings joy to everybody. 9 times out of 10, it's done right before the Christmas holiday, which for me just makes the most logical sense because that just speaks to the generosity of the hockey community and organizations and fans. So getting ready for a game like this, you try to look up as many teddy bear related statistics as possible. How many bears have been donated lifetime? What's the average per year? Who scored the teddy bear goal before? Because that actually is a badge of honor in these locker rooms. And then in my pregame interviews with the players and coaches, I'll always ask who they think is going to score the teddy bear goal and then compare notes after the game is over. It provides a lot of great memories too on some big goals for some players over time and what that goal means. And then there's a couple of oddities where you get blanked in the game, which has happened to the teams I've worked with twice. So, it's another one of those games very similar to that 10-1 win against San Jose, where you've got to be prepared for anything and everything and all of it in between. So a very fun game nonetheless, and a great way to end a 3-game slate of a week.
This is really inside baseball, and it's just me being a bit of a broadcast nerd, but do you go in there with a call in mind on the teddy bear toss goal? Do you have a set phrase or something that you think you're going to pull out, or do you like to just sort of have it happen naturally on the teddy bear toss goal?
You never like to script things like that in this business. However, that is a game where a lot of our colleagues will. They'll have something ready to go. I've always just stuck with let's see the teddy bears fly. But there have been a lot of colleagues of mine over the years in the ECHL and the American Hockey League that have showed the great pun masters that they are. And they've used different lines along those lines. Everett Fitzhugh, who's now the voice of the Seattle Kraken, a dear friend of mine, he had a call in Cincinnati a few years ago that was absolutely electric and just had us beat red in the face laughing. It was so great. So, you've got calls like that over the years. So this one, you might stick with let's see the teddy bears fly. Maybe you'll get a last second blip of inspiration and roll from there with it. But I'm just, first and foremost, we got to score the goal, because it is one of the most depressing things in the world when you do get shut out in that game. Granted, it's happened twice. Only once
I can't
was
believe
the bear.
That either.
Well, it's so funny, Logan, because the first time it was a false alarm on the goal. and the goal the goal lamp didn't go off. It was December of 2013, and everybody threw the Bears out. Goal was waved off. The puck was a country mile away from crossing the goal line, and we had a rookie up in the game ops booth who hit the goal horn too early, so the goal was waved off, and then karma just made it a 2-0 loss. But in December of 19, we had, as we affectionately called it in the Rush office, a pity toss. And the final time out of the third period was when everybody threw their Bears out, and a former goalie of ours shoved it in our face, and he blanked us. So, yeah, it's pretty wild. So you got to hope that the goal scored first and then kind of see where the call takes you from there.
Well, based on how the offense has been going for Stockton, I don't anticipate it being a problem. Mark, as always, thanks so much for the time. I really do appreciate these chats. Thanks for being a little flexible with the time today. Have a great call tomorrow and this weekend. We'll be looking forward to hearing that call of the Teddy Bear Toss game on Saturday, pal.
You got it, pal. And if I don't get to talk to you beforehand, you have a Merry Christmas, and we'll talk to you soon.
You too, Mark. Thanks again. There you go. Mark Benetti, play-by-play voice of the Stockton Heat, joining us down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. He's one of the best. Really love talking, chatting some Stockton Heat with Mark. He's enjoying it. He's got a great voice. He's been killing it on some of those calls. You can listen to it on AHL TV. And yes, the Teddy Bear Toss for the Stockton Heat coming up Saturday when they take on the Colorado Eagles. They've got Bakersfield tomorrow before that back-to-back home games Friday and Saturday against Colorado. Maybe a good time if you haven't kept up to date with Stockton to maybe just, you know, peek over at the roster. They're doing pretty damn well leading the Pacific Division, but I have a feeling a handful of those guys are going to come up and trade in their Heat jerseys for Flames jerseys as this COVID outbreak continues. Even as we were in conversation with Mark there, more NHL COVID news breaking during that. We'll come back, reset the Flames situation, reset what Brad Treliving talked about with the media a little bit earlier today, and get you the latest update on what's been a pretty dark day when it comes to COVID news across the National Hockey League. We'll get you the latest in the final segment of Sportsnet Today. It's next here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Back to Sportsnet Today on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
End of the program today. Been a busy one. Heard from Flames general manager Brad Treliving with the latest on the Flames COVID situation. They added three more names to the list today: Lucic, Monahan, Hanifin. It's been a common theme around the NHL. Dive into more of that in a couple of moments. Peter Labardi has joined us. Mark Benetti, the play-by-play voice of the Stockton Heat as well. Some of those Heat players that Mark has been calling games for might be making their way up to Calgary sooner than later. As of right now, Saturday, the next time the Flames are scheduled to play against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Wait and see, as you'll hear from Brad Treliving a little bit later on today. He said, feels like between Tuesday and Saturday, an eternity, so much can happen between now and then. No definitive answers as to what exactly these next few days hold for the Calgary Flames and the NHL as a whole. Before we dive back into that, though, I want to remind you, coming up on the last few days of our fan Sportsnet 960 The Fan Fall Showcase, the Ultimate Fan Edition from our friends at Paradise Bay Home Leisure. We've done a couple of these throughout the last couple of months. This is the last round for the Fall Showcase. It's the Ultimate Fan Edition. What you want to do is when you hear the goal horn go off during the break and the special code word, you text it in with your name to 960-960. You can enter as many times as you want. One text equals one entry. Then this next Monday on the big show, Pat and Will are going to give our grand prize winner a call, and they'll get to choose from one of the three following packages. There's a cheer on your team package that comes from our friends at Paradise Bay. Luxury zero gravity massage chair, Canadian Hemlock infrared sauna, and Calgary Flames Club corner seats in the front row. Or how about you're dreaming of a golf getaway to Banff? One night stay in a luxury hotel in Banff for you and three of your pals. Two tee times over the weekend. A brand new driver for everybody in your group. I know it's cold today. You're going to want to get golfing. get up to Banff when it's nice again? Or how about just a night out of town? Tickets to an upcoming Flames game for you and three of your friends. Party bus to get you to and from the arena. You don't have to worry about travel. New Flames jerseys for everybody. One night stay in a luxury hotel and dinner before the game. Those are the three packages you get to choose from if you are the winner of our Fall Showcase, the Ultimate Fan Edition. You can head to sportsnet.ca/960 for full contest details. We're calling our winner on Monday on the big show, so make sure you get those entries in for the remainder of the week. A bad day for COVID-related cases in the NHL and the NFL. We had heard the few extra names added for the Flames today. It's a common theme around the NHL today. In the last hour or so, our NHL insider Frank Cervelli tweeting, hearing there are a handful of potential positive cases for the Nashville Predators. Waiting on confirmation for that. The Oilers announcing Ryan McLeod placed in the COVID protocol. Frank was then quick to respond that he might not be the only one in Edmonton, as they might have a potential positive on their coaching staff. They're retesting to make sure there's no false positives. Earlier today, Minnesota, Carolina postponed. Canes have four more positive tests. They had Jarvis and Aho yesterday. You can add Svechnikov, Cole, Stahl, and Lorenz to their list today. So they're in it about as deep as Calgary is now. Still from earlier today, former Flame Ryan Lomberg on the list for Florida. Devon Taves, COVID list for Colorado. Vancouver added two. Luke Shen and Juho Lamico were added to the COVID-19 list, prompting interim GM and president of Hockey Ops Jim Rutherford to have a presser that is currently ongoing in Vancouver. And from the Athletics, Thomas Drantz saying they are going through testing again this morning. They're expecting to have results around 6 p.m. Vancouver time. If there are more positives, expect their game against the Columbus Blue Jackets to be postponed tonight. Not even done yet. Earlier today, New York Islanders placed Matt Barzal on the COVID list. Two names for the Boston Bruins, Marchand and Craig Smith. Boston set to host Vegas tonight, 5 p.m. Two postponements already today, Carolina, Minnesota, Calgary, Nashville. Potential for a third one with the Vancouver Canucks, Columbus Blue Jackets. In wait and see mode for most of these cases. That after the NFL yesterday recorded their largest single number of tests, positive tests in a day, with 37. ESPN's Adam Schefter confirming already today there's been 25 more in the NFL, including 7 on the Cleveland Browns. Not a great turn of events when it comes to pro sports. The NBA is going through it as well. The NHL conversation, of course, amplified by the presence of the Olympics and an Olympic break coming up in the spring. Maybe that's better served using it to get the NHL schedule back on board. Our taxi squad, something that we're going to have to start considering again here. But it sure looks as though the NHL has got a situation on their hands that they're going to need to address sooner than later. They said that unless it was an option taken completely out of their hands, they were going to leave it up to the players to go to the Olympics. I would argue that if you continue to have to postpone games for teams on a nightly basis, or if teams are adding guys to their COVID list day by day at this rate, it's going to make the NHL's decision. And look, it's not lost on me that two of the biggest names for Team Canada have come out the last couple of days in Alex Pietrangelo and Connor McDavid today and admitted that, yeah, they're getting a little bit concerned about going to China with all of this. That they've been pretty non-committal one way or the other. You'd think if they were sold on it 100%, they were going in, guns blazing, it wouldn't be a question. But there are two guys that are going to be big pieces for, you know, a team that wants a gold medal there and aren't so sure if this is the best decision anymore. Hard to disagree with them. Wait and see, as Brad Treliving said earlier today, and we'll hear it again during the big show with Pat and Will. Saturday still their next scheduled game, but getting from Tuesday today to Saturday, who knows what could happen. On the text line at 960-960, tell Brad if they need a slow right winger with hands of stone, I'm available. I've seen a couple of people offering up their services. If you look at the Flames' current lineup, half of the forward group, half of the defense currently out. I think that would qualify as being pretty shorthanded heading into Saturday before they even get any of that cap relief. We'll wait and see. It's a tough one for the Flames, and we'll have to react as these decisions get made. Other news outside of hockey today, great news for the Calgary Stampeders. How about this for a huge signing? Trey Roberson, who came back to the team late in the season last year, has re-upped for the next 2 years with the Calgary Stampeders. Roberson will be with the Red and White through the 2023 season. He was the nominee for Most Outstanding Rookie in 2018, Most Outstanding Defensive Player nominee in 2019, and a West Division CFL All-Star in 2019 as well. Came back to the Stamps in October after a stint with the NFL's Chicago Bears. Of course, a starter for them in the West semifinal loss to Saskatchewan. Huge signing for the Calgary Stampeders. A couple other minor ones today as well. But the big news for the Stamps, Trey Roberson, not only back with the Red and White, but a 2-year deal to keep him around. That's a big piece of the Calgary defense locked in for next season. Busy big show coming up with Pat and Will today. You're not going to want to miss it. They'll have reaction to Brad Treliving and his press conference a little bit earlier today. Joe Dolan from Fantasy Points going to join Will just after 2:30. Fantasy football playoffs right around the corner. I'll be back for headlines at 4 with the guys. Derek Wills joins for the Daily Flames Roundtable at 4:30. And Scott Wheeler of The Athletic going to join the guys at 5 o'clock. Pat and Will coming up next with another edition of The Big Show. Thanks to Pete Labardius. Thanks to Mark Panetti for joining us on the program today. We'll be back tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. That's another edition of Sportsnet Today, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.